Well, Merry Christmas Eve, everybody. With Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live on the air and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the hard issues of real life. We invite you to call right now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC or 844-322-2742. It is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob, and as you mentioned to all our listeners, Merry Christmas Eve. This is an exciting time of the year for Christians as we celebrate the birth of Christ, the fact, the time when God became one of us in the person of Christ Jesus, the wonder of it all, you know, the angelic appearances to Joseph and Mary and to the shepherds, and then the, you know, the host of angels singing glory to God. And it's just kind of magical, isn't it, guys, to think of God becoming one of us.
It is.
That we could have everlasting life. I mean, this gospel story is just mesmerizing.
Yeah. You think about all the Christians, all of us, who at one time or another, Bob, we have struggled with the idea that God would be compatible with us. We wonder if, you know, we've messed up too much, or if, you know, humanity just doesn't fit. We've flubbed it up. And really, this Christmas story is a story of God invading our humanity and letting us know that we can certainly be compatible with him, and Jesus is a picture of that. And so, you know, a lot of listeners right now, maybe you've gone through some serious life struggles and you've dealt with some things and you think your sins are too big. And, you know, really it's our God that is big and our sins are small. In fact, he's taken them away and made us forgiven, and we're compatible with his divinity. And I love that. To me, that's one of the biggest things in this Christmas story, is that Jesus is a picture of God being compatible with us.
Yes, it is. And that really is the message, Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the whole point of the Christmas story, isn't it? And I think that's why the angel was so very clear to Joseph, you're going to name him Emmanuel, which means God with us. That is the ultimate end. That's God's purpose, God's desire for each and every one of us. That's why so many of us go through life feeling empty, like we're missing something, like something's wrong with us. Well, something is wrong with us. We haven't really been delivered to that stated end as far as God is concerned. We haven't been reconciled to him and dwelt by him. Once that happens, we're complete. Just as Jesus Christ in his body existed the entire Godhead. So when we come to him, we're complete. And I think that is just one of the most incredible truths that we can embrace and walk in each and every day.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I like your idea, Andrew, of compatibility. It just makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, the entire Trinity is pleased to have us. You think about the relationship that we have with God as our Father. Well, that's the Father. And then the relationship that we have with Jesus, who gave his very life for us. And then the relationship that we have with the Holy Spirit, who indwells us. I mean, basically, the message is, wherever you go, you're never alone. And wherever you go, there's always four of you, because the Trinity, all three members of the Godhead, are entirely pleased to have you. And to be able to wake up and live your day and realize that you've got three in one supporting you, that's an incredible boost and an incredible thought to fix your mind on as you pass through each day.
Yeah, well, we have a wonderful relationship with our listeners as well, so we'd love to hear from some of them right now. The lines are pretty much wide open at 844-32-BASIC. We are live, so you can pose your question or your particular situation and allow us to discuss it with you. And the key there is with you. So give us a call, 844-32-BASIC. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, Andrew Farley joining us today, and my name is Bob Davis. Thanks for joining us. Join us on the phone, 844-32-BASIC. Question from Cynthia, who listens online in Wisconsin, and she says, a question for this holiday season: could you explain the difference between feasting, versus gluttony, both described in the Bible. Is the difference a matter of the heart as opposed to the actual behavior involved? I'd like to hear your thoughts on that topic.
I don't know that we've ever had that question. draw the difference between those two.
I'm going to run an experiment tonight and tomorrow. I'll let you know how it goes out.
Good job.
Andrew, you're on the line for that one. Tell us.
Yeah.
Tell us the difference.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, feasting has an air of celebration to it. I think when people, give a toast or have a feast or, host a party, there's a feasting that's going on in celebration of something, and it really doesn't have anything to do with worshiping food or looking to food to fill us up or to be the answer in life. I think gluttony is when something like a normal human appetite for food, and when it becomes an obsession, when it becomes a controlling factor in our lives, when we're not just eating because we're naturally hungry, but we're eating to fill another need. We're eating to get our needs met in some unnatural way. And so gluttony is really just a term that for thousands of years has described the idea of looking to food beyond a natural appetite. And, you know, you say, well, when is it beyond? When is it too much? And, you know, when do I need to cut back? And I think the Holy Spirit is really good at just making us aware of what is of Him and what is too much and what is of Him and then what is, not natural or not healthy or not good for us. And, you don't want to be legalistic about such a thing, but at the same time, you don't want to be a slave to anything. When Paul talked about food, he said, all things are permissible, but not all things are profitable. And I think that's probably a good way, a good new covenant way to look at the issue. I mean, all things are permissible, but now what in the world is profitable for me when it, in terms of eating habits and that sort of thing. Now, of course, guys, you know, Christmas would be the exception.
We can be gluttonous at Christmas. Okay.
Right.
Well, Andrew, as you're explaining that, you know, the thought comes to mind about the real definition of sin. You know, we look at it as a violation of the law and those sort of things, but there's a root to it, and it's unbelief. So it's trying to find basically meaning and purpose to life through anything other than Christ Jesus Himself. So if we're looking to food to meet a need within our hearts, that's never going to satisfy us. So we have to have more and more and more. That's why we get into kind of gluttony, and we see that in lots and lots of areas of life. So it really underscores this real life that God has called us to, and that's a life of faith and dependence upon the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the life that satisfies. If we try to find meaning and purpose elsewhere, we're gonna be left wanting more, and that's just the very nature of sin. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go to our phones now. We're going to start in Worcester, Mass, and talk with Joy, listening to us on the Internet. Hi, Joy.
Hi. Thank you for your program and your whole ministry. It's just been so helpful.
Well, thank you, Joy. Thank you for those encouraging words. We certainly appreciate that.
All of you. And it's so neat. My question just ties in exactly with what you're already talking about. My question is, I understand that Jesus has done everything, or really the whole Trinity, but I'm going to say Jesus. Jesus has done everything for us by grace. He's already taken care of our sin. He's already, given us everything. So that's already done. So I know my question has to do with, I'm trying to understand a little more how I live as a Christian. In other words, how I respond to the Holy Spirit. Because I'm wondering if a Christian can kind of put themselves under the law, as it were. Let's say I decide, okay, I'm going to get up at 5 o'clock every morning. I'm going to pray for an hour. Then I'm going to read my Bible for half an hour. And I'm going to do this and this and this. You know, all very good things. But, then... Mm-hmm. You know, either I fail, I can't live up to it, or I'll find myself, hating it and just wanting to do the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that's part of the law, but I don't know if anyone here has ever made a decision, like, you know, I'm never going to go to another movie because they're pretty much godless. And then you find yourself just craving to go to the movies like crazy.
Yeah. Well, that is definitely, Joy, yeah, that is definitely the operation of the law in our lives. I mean, you look at that movie situation that you described. I mean, you know, you never wanted to go to a movie so badly until you had not permitted yourself to go to a movie. And when you have that thou shalt not attend a movie, then the desire to go to a movie just explodes within you. And so you say, well, you know, how do I judge this thing? And Joy, I think that's an important question. I mean, when it comes to the Christian life, we see things like, you know, choosing to set your mind on things above and choosing to offer yourself to God. That just means wake up every day and let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let your speech be seasoned with grace. There's a letting, there's a choosing, there's a setting of the mind, but it's not a black and white thing where we legislate on paper, you know, whether movies are okay or not, and whether, you know, you're allowed to do this or allowed to do that. See, when we get in the realm of the black and white and legislating things, we're getting close to the concept of legalism, whereas Jesus is wanting to give us this personal relationship where we look not outwardly but inwardly to Christ and allow him to make those calls for us as we trust him and set our minds on him and let him express himself. You know, we can trust him to be self-control. We can trust him to be love and patience and gentleness. And so, you know, this is an inward life. It's not an outwardly legislated life where I tell you exactly what you can and can't do, and then you turn around and do the same to me. Really, we're all pointing our eyes toward Christ, and he's within us. And so I think it's a unique, it's not religious, it's unique because we're talking about a life that was lost in the garden and then a life that is restored to us in Christ, and we're trusting Christ as life, and it's not a bunch of rules. He's a person, and that's the key difference.
Yes. See, because I was taught in something I got caught up in, basically they believe that you kind of store up the Bible inside you, and you do this by confessing it. So somehow when you confess the Word of God, it stores up in you and gives you more faith, and somehow it's like you're stockpiling it, and that is going to give you God's power to do whatever he wants you to do. However, we have Christ in us, and Christ, you know, it just seems to me that could be wrong, because there's nothing wrong with confessing God's word, but with that kind of approach, you know, you're ignoring the fact that you have Christ in you.
Right. Right. And you're absolutely.
And you have the Spirit in you. And you can't stockpile on the Holy Spirit. Like, so perhaps that particular teaching could be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thanks for your call, Joy. I definitely agree with you. I think all of us would celebrate with you this Christmas the simple fact that the message is not merely about a book, as important as the scriptures are. I mean, where would we be without the scriptures? And we celebrate the scriptures, but there's a deeper truth here, and that is that the scriptures are pointing us to Christ and Christ in us. And that is the hope we have, guys.
Yes, it is. Well, Joy, let me do this for you, just as our Christmas gift to you. I want to put you on hold and send you a copy of a Bible study guide that we have called The New Covenant Journey. And it really helps you know, point you to the Word of God. It gives you really a deep dive into what the New Testament has to say about this Spirit-led life that we live under this new covenant. So let me put you on hold, and we'll send you a copy of The New Covenant Journey. And once you work through it, call us back. Okay, Joy?
Okay, thank you, and Merry Christmas to all of you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. You hang on.
Yes, indeed. Just a reminder that the New Covenant Journey and other valuable resources are available to you through this ministry, and you'll find them all listed at store.basicgospel.net. That's store.basicgospel.net.
Yeah. Boy, that was a powerful question, guys. Yes. And I think that really touches on the heart and soul of the Christian message, the gospel message. We're so legalistic by nature. You know, we try to do things to become something. And God has already done something for us and has already made us into a child of God. And living by the Spirit is simply becoming what God has already made us, living out what God has already made us in Christ.
Yeah. We insist on trying to make visible the invisible. And if I've been declared righteous, then how do I know I'm righteous? Well, because Jesus made me righteous, not because I can prove to you by some behavioral means. And as soon as we go into that behavioral thing, then we have stopped walking by faith, and we just crash and burn. It's inevitable.
Absolutely. Plenty of open lines, time on the clock. Give us a call. We'd love to pose your question and have you do that and discuss your particular issue. 844-32-BASIC. 844-32-BASIC.
Well, let's go to England and talk to our good friend, Saab. Hi, Saab.
Merry Christmas, Saab.
Merry Christmas to all of you. My question today is Mark 16. After Jesus rising, and then he was telling, go and preach the gospel for the old creation, and in my name they will drive out demons, and they will speak in new tongues.
Okay.
So what does that mean, new tongues and drive out demons? And could you explain to me, please?
Good question, Saab. I think as far as the apostles were concerned, as they took the gospel message out into the world, we saw the fulfillment of this particular passage. Certainly with the Apostle Paul and all of his missionary journeys, as he entered into different cities, God gifted him with the ability to speak in their language, to bring the gospel message. He talks about that in his letter to the Corinthians. We see him driving out demons. We see the other apostles doing that. And I think it specifically speaks about the apostles as they were going to carry this message out into the world. So I think that's already been fulfilled.
Right.
Does that make sense to you?
It's another language.
Yes. Yes. It's when you see tongues in the Bible, it's really a word for language. It's a known language. So when the apostles on the day of Pentecost, when they were giving out the word of God, giving out this good news about Jesus, God supernaturally enabled the hearers to hear that message in their own native tongue. It wasn't some gibberish or that sort of thing. It was a known language. And why would it be a known language? Well, that's how we communicate. And so when we hear this gospel message in our own language, it's powerful. It connects with us. Andrew, I remember years ago when you worked with us for a summer, you translated a lot of our materials into Spanish, and you actually conducted a seminar in the Spanish language. And we had probably 30, 40 people there, and quite a number of those folks had been to our other seminars, but there was something powerful about this, them hearing it in their native language. They were able to identify with the message even stronger than they were hearing it in a second language. I always remember that. That was just a wonderful, wonderful time.
Yeah, that was some 14 years ago, and I look back on that summer and really enjoyed the opportunity to translate things and do some interpreting and host that event. And that's what we see in the book of Acts, is we essentially see it done miraculously. I mean, there are apostles who are able to communicate, and there's a bunch of Gentiles and a bunch of people from many different backgrounds saying, how in the world are these apostles able to communicate with us in our native tongue? And that's why tongues is really a sign to the unbeliever. It is a shock to the unbeliever. It is a missionary gift. It is an evangelistic gift. It's, you know, when we talk about the genuine gift of tongues here, we're not talking about something that no one can understand. It's important that it be to the hearer an intelligible language. Otherwise, we're just a clanging cymbal. We make no sense, and no one can say amen. So this is why Paul was so, you know, adamant about tongues being spoken in an orderly fashion, and that there be an interpreter present, and that only two or three people do it in a church service, because largely it's a gift for evangelism and for unbelievers to hear the gospel in their own tongue.
Yeah. Well, Saab, hope that helps, and certainly wish you a very Merry Christmas, and we'll look forward to hearing from you again real soon. We're going to go to Tony in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Tony.
Hi, good afternoon. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you as well.
Indeed.
Yes, my question is, when you accept Jesus as your Savior, the Holy Spirit comes in you.
Yes.
Am I correct?
That is correct.
So why is it when I go to specific churches that the preachers say, Holy Spirit, come on us with power, or Holy Spirit, enable us to understand your word, or Holy Spirit, come. In other words, they're asking the Spirit to come when he's inside of you. I don't understand the difference there.
That's a great question, yes. Tony, and a keen discernment on your part. Is that something?
I'll take your answer, and I'll turn the phone off, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Thanks,
Tony.
Hey,
Drew, is that something that we should be praying in church services, you know, come Holy Spirit, or, you know, how should we deal with things like that?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've spent our lifetimes in church, and many of us, I'm sure most listeners who've spent a few hours in church, if you've sampled a bunch of different movements or denominations, you've likely heard something just like mentioned by the caller. You know, we've got these ideas floating around that we need to invite God into our building, or we need to have God fall fresh on us, or Holy Spirit come, or Holy Spirit, you know, come live within me or fill me or whatever. And the whole point of the gospel is that when we are placed in Christ, Christ is placed in us. And this means that we have what Romans calls the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Spirit of Christ lives in us. We are complete. We're lacking nothing. We have everything we need for life and godliness. And so, you know, it's like begging and pleading and hoping and waiting for something that you already have. It's like on this very day saying, I wish it were Christmas Eve. God, please make it Christmas Eve.
Well, it already is.
It already is.
Yeah. Christ in us, our hope of glory. Well, Andrew, Merry Christmas to you.
Yes,
Thank you for joining us on today's broadcast. As we close the program, I'm going to turn it over to Bob Davis. He has some special words for us on this eve of Christmas.
Well, guys, I sat down to write for a completely different purpose, but something else completely came out. And so we thought we'd share it today. It's a poem that I wrote called Thinking of You at Christmas, and the you would be our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's Christmas time, the world around. We share in love and cheer. The time when God to us came down, each one he held so dear. And through his birth, his life and death, he paid our price so great. For it was all at God's behest, his blood our sins abate. Now in his love we cherish the gift that he bestowed. The sinner shall not perish, eternal life restored. So in our celebrations, should we neglect to say, Jesus, we will praise you through each eternal day. So I wrote that earlier this month, and I hope it's a blessing to our listeners.
Yes, indeed. Well, it's been a blessing to the staff, and I know you've posted it on our Facebook page. If anybody would like to see those words, we invite you to our Facebook page, and you will see Bob's poem there. But thank you for your tender heart and your just way of expressing this Christmas story in poem. Well, from all of us here at Basic Gospel, from Richard, from Bob Davis, from Andrew, from our entire ministry team, Greg Park, Michelle Lister, Billy Rayburn, Kim Groff, just Vivian Foster,
Stephen
Simon, the whole gang. We just wish you a very, very Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
From our heart
Merry
to
Merry
yours.
Christmas.
Yeah.
Yes.